Hello and welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's May 19th. You're listening to KTOO News and we've got a great show. We'll get an update from Kim Kiefer about what's going on in the city and borough of Juno. We'll also learn about the Winning the Million to One game, a customer service workshop training offered by the Juno Convention and Visitors Bureau. It's that time of year. We'll get the details about Hearthside Books author cruise, which is Friday, and we'll have Marion Call here in the studio to talk about her concert on Thursday night at Copa. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police Force says there's a disproportionate number of homicides of Aboriginal women. This comes days after a United Nations report was released calling for an official investigation into the number of missing and murdered Aboriginal women in the country. More from Dan Karpinchuk.
The RCMP report says Aboriginal women have been much more prone to violent death than non-Native women. It says there have been 1,181 cases of missing and murdered Native women since 1980. It's a number that's even higher than what many experts had estimated and even surprised RCMP Commissioner Bob Paulson, who presented the report.
Well, I was surprised to be able to put the precision around the numbers that we have. Of course, we've known for some time, and I think it's fairly widely known, that there's a higher rate of violent victimization within the Aboriginal female population. But to see these numbers crystallize as they have was a little surprising, I have to say.
Paulson says it's important not to lose sight of the human aspects of the incidents, and he called upon partners and communities to work together to find solutions to this issue. He did say that police forces across the country have solved 88% of the Aboriginal female murders, roughly about the same percentage as for cases involving non-natives. There have been several calls for a national inquiry into the number of missing and murdered Aboriginal women and girls, but so far the federal government has resisted. It says the issue has been studied enough and it's time for action. The Justice Minister says Ottawa will use the data to continue pursuing initiatives such as the Family Violence Prevention Program on reserves. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The state of Alaska has filed the response to petitions for post-conviction relief for the Fairbanks Four: George Freese, Kevin Pease, Marvin Roberts, and Eugene Vent. They were convicted of a 1997 beating death and say they're not guilty. The Alaska Innocence Project filed information in the case pointing to others being responsible. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the state's not convinced but has requested an evidentiary hearing.
The argument for overturning the Fairbanks Four convictions hinges on sworn statements from two men who claim former friend Jason Wallace delivered the fatal blows to John Hartman during a random attack by a group that did not include any of the Fairbanks Four. Neither man claims to have witnessed it, but their statements say others involved, or Wallace himself, told them what happened.
The law likely regards the contents of their affidavits as hearsay.
State Assistant Attorney General Adrian Bachman and a team of investigators have been looking into the new case information since it was filed by the Innocence Project last September. Longtime Fairbanks Four advocate April Monroe Frick says the state's response falls short of a genuine investigation.
Instead, they're just focusing on, you know, kind of a flimsy technical argument. Is this going to be a confession or hearsay?
Monroe Frick expects a fight over what evidence will be permitted at a future case hearing requested by the state. For National Native News, I'm Dan Bross in Fairbanks, Alaska.
The Nevada State Board on Geographic Names has voted to table a request to name a Lake Tahoe Cove after Mark Twain. According to the Associated Press, the move came after opposition from the Washoe tribe, citing Twain held racist views on Native Americans. The tribe points to comments in Twain's writings, like referring to the tribe as the Digger Tribe, a derogatory term to the Washoe people. Washoe ancestral homeland includes Lake Tahoe. Supporters sought the area to be called Samuel Clemens, Twain's birth name, saying Twain praised Tahoe's beauty and was a beloved author. In May 1903, U.S. officials forcibly removed the Palabanda Mission Indians in California from their native homeland to the Liseno Reservation 40 miles away. They had lost court battles and were ordered to leave the land. The Palaband referred to it as their Trail of Tears. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. You're invited to Kawanak Broadcast Corporation's second annual reception and fundraiser, Thursday, June 5th, at Sandia Resort and Casino in Albuquerque. Enjoy the art auction, meet Kawanak's board and staff, and help raise funds for Native Radio. Learn more at nativenews.net. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It's 3.05 p.m. It's May 19th. It's a Monday. I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And the weather forecast is rain. Yeah, wow, we live in a rainforest. It's raining, and it's supposed to rain for the rest of the week. Doesn't really seem like it's raining that hard. But anyway, highs around 54 tonight, lows around 45. Tuesday, rain. Highs around 52. Tomorrow night, rain. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Wednesday night and Thursday, mostly cloudy. Lows around 41. Highs around 58. Thursday night, rain likely, lows around 43, and as of now, looks like rain likely and clouds for the weekend. So speaking of rain, our first guest is, not that, I'm going to explain that segue.
Thank you.
Kim Kiefer is here. She's the city manager of CBJ, the City Bureau of Juneau, and the reason I was talking about rain is we are on a water conservation alert. That's what I was thinking about.
Okay.
Rain.
Thank you
so
for clarifying that.
Even though it's raining right now, is that water conservation alert still on?
It's not on like it was the last week, but it's always good to think about your water use. Our tanks aren't full at this point. We haven't had really heavy rain, and so it would be good to really think about, instead of spraying down your driveway, take a broom and get everything off with that. So one of the things Parks and Rec is doing, you'll be seeing them planting the flowers in the medians and doing the hanging baskets downtown, and they've got a system where they're actually going to draw water from freshwater sources to fill up their tank that aren't city drinking water. So you may see them out there. They will need to water, because as gardeners know, after you plant something, you need to really soak it well. But that water that they're going to be soaking isn't coming from our tanks. They've got a different pump system that they're going to pull it out of the creeks.
Okay. And let's just talk a little bit about how, you know, it's almost laughable that we have a water conservation alert going on right now. How did this happen?
Well, we had really dry temperatures, and for a length of time. We also aren't able to use Salmon Creek right now. Salmon Creek is off because of the turbidity rate. So it looks okay, but it's just cloudy. And so it's drinkable, but we don't have a system in right now to be able to take care of that. So we actually have two projects going on in the next couple years that will address water. One is to put a new system in at Salmon Creek so that we can run it year-round. The other is to get a couple more wells up in the Last Chance Basin so that we have more capacity. The wells that we have there have been used for a long time, and after you use them and abuse them for a long time, they don't produce as much. So we need to get some new ones out there so that we can actually rest a well, and then it has better production. Mm-hmm. So we, in the next couple years, will be changing that, but it's very unusual to have the stretch that we've had this early in the season, and you know, we'd get a little bit of rain, but not a lot, and so we weren't able to keep up with the demands of people wanting to use water because it was sunny and washing their cars and spraying their decks and spraying their houses and all of those things. So we were taking down on our tanks more than we were putting back in.
Okay. And in your tenure as city manager, is this the first time that there's been a water conservation alert?
In the last 2 years, but it's not the first time that we've asked people to conserve.
Okay.
In my 30-plus years with the CBJ.
Okay.
but it doesn't happen very often.
All right. Now, talking about your 30-plus years with the CBJ, CBJ is going through tight times. So
yes.
12 full-time employees, what actually might not be 12 people, but full-time positions are being faded out at the end of this fiscal year. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, and there's been a tightening of belts. And tonight at the CBJ assembly meeting, 7 o'clock, you could tune in here to listen, or I suggest you go down, because the main operational budget, the school district funding, the mill rate, the capital improvement projects, public hearing on all those things. Is that correct?
Correct. So basically what tonight is to take all the work that the assembly has done since April 2nd when the budget was introduced and have it adopted. So there's been lots of changes that have happened since it was first introduced on April 2nd to tonight. There's been approximately a little less than $2 million in reductions that have been made in the ongoing operations of the CBJ, which is where those 12 positions, 12 FTEs are, as well as some increased fees, impacts to the fund balance, pulling more money out of the fund balance, and then also $1,050,000 less in capital improvement projects that will be out on the street this next year. Those were either, some of them were reduced, a couple projects were reduced in total amount, and then there were three projects that were postponed and pushed off to future years.
Okay. And then when you're talking about $2 million with the reduction of jobs, That's not just salary, that's benefit packages.
And that's and the reductions are far more than the 14 people, so that 14 doesn't equal 2 million. There are other reductions that were made with that, other savings that weren't directly aligned with people. So reduction in printing costs, or what I consider sort of the smaller things, the things we've been doing since 2009 that are now, we don't have any more to go to do those. It's really important to know that people don't think 14 positions equals $2 million.
Okay. And once again, that assembly meeting is tonight at Assembly Chambers behind the mural downtown, of course, from Marine Park. And if you have a comment, I urge you to go to this meeting or send an email to the Assembly, because this is our public hearing.
It is on the budget for 15, and we're already working on 16.
Right. So that's my question. Okay, I'm just a Jane Doe here, pedestrian on the street, but I happen to have a microphone at the moment. And so there is a deficit of 15 million
total for 2 years.
Right. And you've reduced it by 2 million.
We reduced it by 6 million. So
okay,
we reduced out of the 15 budget, if everything gets adopted tonight. We will have made reductions or changes to the budget for a total of $6 million. Next year, we'll be looking at $9 million. Some of the changes that we made this year will roll into next year. So those $2 million in budget reductions, those will roll into next year. We were already anticipating using some fund balance next year. So really, for next year, we still need to look probably in the range of $5 to $6 million to figure out what to do with that. So there's a whole list of things that have already been put together as we went through the budget process. One of the things the assembly will do, the mayor will be working on a task force that will be looking at exemptions and going through all the exemptions we have and decide, are they staying, do they need to be changed? Probably the one that people know the most is the senior sales tax exemption. And so there's discussion that we will look at possibly moving forward with a needs-based senior sales tax exemption rather than just everybody gets it when you turn a certain age.
Hmm. Okay. I have a question about the school district funding.
Okay.
So I want to go back to that. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. Our guest is Kim Kiefer. So in the past, historically, CBJ has funded to the cap, to the school district.
I think with the exception of 1 year, and they're pretty close, but... And this year we're close. I don't have the exact number, but we aren't quite to the cap.
Okay. So what will the impact be next year for the school district? I mean, what's going to be the final product? Is it larger teacher-to-student ratio? I mean, what will be the impact?
Well, with the school district funding, the assembly gives them the funding, and then it's up to the school district to decide how they're going to use that funding and where, how far down the list they go. So they've been working on new money that they received from the state and looking at a list on how far down they can go with that money, and they are doing the same with the money that the school, the assembly is providing for the school district. The assembly provided some funding outside of the cap. So there was money that the assembly has put outside of the cap for student activities, for busing for homeless kids. There was one other busing piece. Sorry, I don't have it right in front of me. And then some additional funding for student activities and then community schools. So they took part of that funding and said, okay, we're not going to fund it outside of the cap anymore. We're going to take that dollar amount and put it inside the cap, and then the school district can do what they want with it. What the school board decided last week to do with it is to go ahead and put it towards student activities, because they were getting cut the student activities on the outside of the cap piece. So they said, okay, we'll take this money that the assembly's putting inside the cap and put it towards student activities.
But it's at the school district's discretion, is that we're
correct.
Talking about.
Yep.
So we need to get one of them in here to find out how they're going to do it.
Exactly.
You know, because it's
yeah.
not really under your domain. It is, but it's not.
It isn't. It's up to them. And the assembly decides a dollar amount for the school district, for the airport, for docks and harbors, for Bartlett, for Eagle Crest, and it's up to them to decide how that money is spent.
We've talked about that, the
yeah.
hierarchy of how this all works.
Exactly.
Okay, and then, so once again, the CBGA Assembly is meeting tonight at 7. You can listen here on KTOO. You mm-hmm. could go down there, or you could send an email and share your thoughts with our elected officials. And mm-hmm. just one quick question before you go.
Yeah.
So in the fall, are there any Assembly seats that will be open?
There's always three.
Okay.
On the spot, let's see. Jesse Keel is up this year. Carlton Smith, I believe, is up this year. And I believe Randy Wanamaker
okay.
is up this year.
Do
but
you
there's
know?
Always three
okay.
that are up every year.
All right. All right. Good to know.
Yeah.
I know that they come around in the fall, but obviously it's alternating years of how you put people on for their two-year stint.
Three years. Yep. So
okay.
we've got 9 assembly members, so we get 3 every year. Juno.org, go to the assembly. You can see when they were elected and when they'll be up for re-election.
Okay. Well, Kim, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do.
Thank
we're
going
to take a short break. We'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 19th of May, 2014. It's the birthday of Malcolm X, born Malcolm Little in Omaha in 1925. When he was 4 years old, living in East Lansing, white supremacists set fire to the family's home. East Lansing police and firefighters, all of them white, came to the house, but they stood by and watched it burn. When he was 6, his father was murdered. Police declared the death a suicide, which invalidated the family's life insurance. The boy's mother never recovered from the murder, went into a mental institution when he was 12. When he was 14, he told his high school teacher he wanted to be a lawyer. The teacher told him to be realistic and think about becoming a carpenter, and the boy dropped out of school the following year. He was arrested for larceny, 1946, went to prison. An older inmate encouraged him to use his time to educate himself, so he started reading books from the prison library. To improve his vocabulary, he copied out an entire dictionary, word for word, and he began a correspondence with Elijah Muhammad, the founder of the Nation of Islam, and became one of their most prominent organizers. He took the surname X to symbolize his lost African heritage. In 1964, Malcolm X broke with the Nation of Islam when he learned that his mentor was having multiple affairs contradicting his own teachings. Malcolm made the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca in Saudi Arabia, where for the first time he related to people of all races, came back to America with a new message, dictated his life story to the writer Alex Haley. The book, The Autobiography of Malcolm X, came out the next year, shortly after Malcolm X was assassinated while speaking at a rally in Manhattan. He was 39 years old. And it's the birthday of the playwright Lorraine Hansberry, born Chicago 1930, author of the play A Raisin in the Sun, opened on Broadway in 1959. It was a big success, first Broadway play to be written by a black woman, and for most of the audience, it was the first time they'd seen the life of a normal black family portrayed on stage or in movies. Here's a poem by William Wordsworth, The Tables Turned. Up, up, my friend, and quit your books, or surely you'll grow double. Up, up, my friend, and clear your looks. Why all this toil and trouble? The sun above the mountain's head, a freshening luster mellow, through all the long green fields has spread his first sweet evening yellow. Books! 'Tis a dull and endless strife. Come, hear the woodland linnet, how sweet his music. On my life there's more of wisdom in it. And hark how blithe the throstle sings. He, too, is no mean preacher. Come forth into the light of things. Let nature be your teacher. She has a world of ready wealth, our minds and hearts to bless. Spontaneous wisdom, breathed by health, truth, breathed by cheerfulness. One impulse from a vernal wood may teach you more of man, of moral, evil, and of good than all the sages can. Sweet is the lore which nature brings our meddling intellect, misshapes the beauteous forms of things we murder to dissect. Enough of science and of art. Close up those barren leaves, come forth and bring with you a heart that watches and receives. William Wordsworth, The Tables Turned. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that's been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
Tonight on 360 North at 7 p.m., get news from around the country and the world from the BBC World News and weather across the state on Alaska Weather at 7:30. At 8, Greg Walker takes a look at Alaska as seen by unmanned aircraft on Science for Alaska. Then, caretakers, patients, and doctors discuss palliative care, legal issues, hospice, and more on End of Life Decisions Town Hall. That's at 9. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. It's May 19th, and it is 3:22 p.m., and you are listening to KTOO News Juno. Just want to let you know the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool will be closed May 19th through May 26th for annual pool maintenance, but it will be reopening on May 27th with their summer swim schedule. And also this Friday, May 23rd, it's Harborview Elementary's 23rd annual fun run. For the safety of the runners and walkers, DOT will limit access to Glacier Avenue from the breakwater to the 3-mile turnaround from 9 to 12 this Friday. As always, the kids will be on the sidewalk. People could get through, but it might be a little congested, so thanks for supporting this community tradition. Speaking of community, it is summer, and summer means tourism to Juneau, and to chat with us next is Kelly Moore. She's here with the Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau. She's the Visitors Information Service Manager. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So you have a training on Friday, but before we get into the training, can we talk a little bit about the Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau and what its purpose is?
Absolutely. The JCV be, the mission of our organization is to market Juneau as a destination place, and we do that year-round. We have lots of activities and things to do, but of course summer is our primary season where we get the most visitors, and generally we'll get about 1 million visitors in the summer.
And is it supposed to be a little up from last year? Is the anticipated number a little more than last year?
You know, I don't have the exact numbers, but we're anticipating a great summer.
Okay. And then you are largely, the organization is largely fueled by volunteers.
We are. Our welcome centers are staffed by volunteers. I do have a couple of seasonal workers who, without them, I would not be able to function. But our volunteers provide a great service. We have four sites. We have two in the downtown area, one at the ferry terminal, one at the airport. And they staff our sites all summer long. The downtown sites are open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay, and how many do you have?
Currently, we have 125 volunteers, but I am looking for more. Usually, I have about 150.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yes.
And just let's walk through the volunteer experience for mm-hmm. Juneau Convention Visitors Bureau. Somebody's listening saying, maybe I want to do it, but what do I have to do?
The easiest way is to contact the office and just let me know that you're interested in volunteering. I am wrapping up my recruitment season, so I have one more new volunteer orientation I'll be doing next week. So if you're interested, now's the time to contact us. And what you would do is go through a new volunteer orientation, which is a couple of hours, and we go over all the ins and outs of what we do, why we do it, and how we do it, and what the volunteer experience is, what the expectations are, and what the perks are, because there are a lot of fun things with volunteering. Some of them, our members are very generous, and they offer what we call FAMs, which are familiarization tours for the volunteers, which are educational opportunities so that they can experience Juneau from a visitor's perspective, which is always a really nice thing.
Right, so you could chat knowingly about what
exactly.
you're talking about.
Exactly. It makes what you say more authentic and definitely more enthusiastic.
Okay, and so do people have to commit to 2 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 8 hours?
It's 6 hours a month at the minimum. Preferably, we'd like to get someone who can volunteer every week, but I know work schedules and life schedules don't necessarily mesh with that, and so I'm pretty flexible, but in order to qualify for certain levels of FAMs and things like that, I do need a commitment so that shows that you're committed to the Bureau, but also you're committed to Juneau to let people know about it. If you only do it once a month, it's really not much of a commitment, but we try very hard to get volunteers that are there on a regular basis, because as the summer goes, businesses change things, the city changes things, and we try to keep everybody informed, so it's really important that you're there.
Okay, wow. That's a large volunteer program. So if people are interested, where should they?
They should contact me, and they can call our office at 586-2201 and ask for Kelly Moore, and I can definitely help them out.
Juneau Convention Visitors Bureau. So this Friday, 9 to 11, there is a training, and it's called Winning the Million to One Game, Customer Service Workshop offered by the JCVB.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Well, you know, as we said earlier, we get about 1 million people that come to Juneau in a five-month period, and there's, you know, only one of you. So how do you maximize that opportunity to tell Juneau's story? Whether you are a dock rep or a sales rep, you work in retail at one of the stores, you're a server in one of the restaurants, you work as a clerk in the hotel, has no difference in how you interact with a visitor. And what you say and do matters. How you respond to their needs and their questions make a difference. And so we developed this training to help our local businesses train their staff on how to respond to these questions so that it impacts the visitor experience in a positive manner. But when that happens, those visitors go back home and they tell people how fantastic Juneau was, how great the people were. Because I end the training with always, it doesn't matter what you say or do, it matters how you make someone feel. And when they leave with that great feeling, they tell their friends, their families, people come back, they call us and say, my cousin went up to Juneau and had the best time, now I want to go.
Right. So what can people expect? What is the components of this workshop?
There are three areas that we cover. The first one is all about Juneau, and it's about Juneau history and information and things about where things are located, ATMs, things like that. One of the biggest questions we get asked is, where are the bathrooms? Those are things that you may not know, and so we help you kind of just navigate those questions. The second component is we briefly go over working with visitors who have mobility or accessibility needs. We got information from SAIL, the Southeast Alaska Independent Living, who has a wonderful program on working with visitors with accessibility needs. And we worked with them to get information that I share to just help your general person understand how to communicate with folks, and then also how to direct them to get better services and more information. And we do send people mostly to sale for that. And then the third component is the meat and potatoes of it, which is the customer service and how that the service you provide not only impacts that visitor, but it impacts you as well.
Okay. So if somebody's listening and they work for a local business that serves tourists or a local business owner is listening, they should send their people. And I understand that there's a fee and there's also a group rate.
There is. There's a fee. The minimum fee is $25 and I believe that's for JCVB members, but the non-members I believe is $30 to $35. But if you have more than four or five people, it goes down. And so the most important thing we're looking at is getting people there. And that fee covers the cost of the training and all of the materials you're provided, because you get a workbook, you get maps, you get all kinds of handouts, and it's an open dialogue kind of setting. So I really enjoy it, and I conduct the training, and I enjoy when the participants add to it. And so if someone who's worked at a hotel had an experience where they weren't quite sure how to handle it, but someone else had a similar experience and they could share with that. We do that kind of dialogue so that everybody comes out with more information than they went in.
Right. And you did a workshop, the same exact workshop in April, and 35 people.
About 35 people came. We had a really great turnout. We were very excited because it was the first one, but we really want to open this up to not just JCVB members, but to anybody in Juneau who works in the visitor information or visitor services, and that's everybody. We all do. And so, I mean, I have been on the street even before I started working for the Bureau, with somebody with a map looking around trying to find their way and stop and ask them, can I help you? It's as simple as that. It's just putting that red carpet out for these million people who come to our town. They chose to come here, and it's very exciting that they're here, and they bring so much economic impact to our city, but also just the vibrancy and enthusiasm because they're also excited to be here.
It's a beautiful place.
Oh, yeah. That's why I live here.
As we all know. So if people want to register for this workshop, how do they do it?
They can get a hold of me and register, and they could do it two ways. One, call me at 586-2201, or they can email me directly at Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, dot Moore, M-O-O-R-E, at traveljuneau.com. And then I will help them get signed up. They can walk in, but we do at least like a heads up of how many people to expect so that we have enough material to accommodate everybody.
Okay, so that's this Friday at the Baranoff from
9 to 11.
Okay, well, Kelly, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back. Okay, it's 3:33 p.m. in Juneau. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO News Juneau. Our next guests are local business owners, Debbie Reifenstein and Susan Hickey, who own Hearthside Books. And they're here to talk about the 5th Annual Alaska Authors at Sea Whale Watching Cruise. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the cruise. Let's talk about when it is and then how it kind of came about, and then maybe the authors who will be your guests.
Okay. Well, 5 years ago, we were looking at, I believe, having a book signing for Mark Kelly in the spring, and it was a beautiful spring, and we kept thinking about where we should have it, and we thought, oh, if it's sunny and indoor, you know, people don't want to come inside, so we thought, well, we'll take it outside, and we cooked up this idea of combining book signings with being on the water whale watching. And it's worked really well, so this is the 5th year we've done it, and it's great fun. We have room for about 120 people, and we meet at Statter Harbor. It's going to be this coming Friday, May 23rd, 6 to 9 p.m., and you have to be at the dock at 5:30. We're selling tickets at both stores, so you can either show up or call either bookstore downtown by the clock or at the Nugget Mall and pick up a ticket. And I wouldn't wait till the end of the week because tickets are really going all of a sudden.
Okay. And how much are the tickets?
They're $50 each, and that includes, besides whale watching and the 9 authors that Debbie will talk about, they will each have a presentation. Debbie and I provide refreshments. I wouldn't call it dinner, but I wouldn't call it snacks either, somewhere in between.
I've been on the cruise. They're yummy.
Okay.
And there's plenty of them.
Yeah. And we are going to have wine tasting, of course, by Specialty Imports, John DeCherney.
Great. And who are the guests of honor this?
Well, we've got authors. 9 authors this year. We've got Richard Carstensen, Bob Armstrong, and Mary Wilson. We'll all be talking about their new nature books. And there's, between the three of them, I think there's about 3 or 4 new books. Then your own Jeff Brown will be on with his new Alaska magazine for 2014. So we always look forward to Jeff. Anne Buchiever has her very first novel out. It's a young adult kids book about a girl in Bristol Bay for the summer in the fishing community, and we're all excited that she's published a book. Next will be Mark Kelly, and he's got his new book, Once Upon Alaska. It's a pictorial book for children with verse by Nick Jans, and my own daughter, Heidi Reifenstein, has done the book design for it, so I'm really excited about this one. Ernestine Hayes will be on board, and she put out a book on Juneau history last November, early December it came out. So it'll be great having Ernestine talk about her book and how it went together, and it's just a wonderful history with photos. Jim Makovic from Glacier Bay will be on, and he wrote the Alaska Salmon Trap book, which is a subject that we don't have much about in the bookstore, so it'll be great to hear his story. And then the final author this year will be Kim Hecox with his new book on John Muir, and Kim is just a phenomenal speaker.
It sounds like you've covered every genre of Alaskana.
Well,
you have.
We don't have a cookbook this year.
Yeah. No cookbook.
No
okay.
cookbook.
But you have nature. You have a lot of nature. Mm-hmm. You have Mark Kelly's children's book, that's new for him, correct?
Yes.
And then you have Ernestine Hayes and Annie's book. I've heard excerpts of her book. Sounds mm-hmm. great.
It is
Sounds
good.
Really
I've read
great.
It.
Yeah. And then, of course, Jeff, who's sitting here, he's the producer and engineer
we
of the show.
We have humor.
Yeah.
Plenty of it. That sounds fabulous. And, of course, out on the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, not on the ocean, on the channel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about the 2 stores. Are there any, besides these fabulous authors and this cruise, is there anything hot off the press that you want to talk about as far as books that are coming out or just kind of shifting from local to tourism season?
Mm-hmm. Our downtown store in particular, of course, we have lots and lots of visitors downtown. In fact, today I see there's 4 big ships in the harbor. And folks are really eager to learn about Alaska, and so we really put Alaskana front and center because they don't have a lot of time to shop, so we try and make it easy for them. And the Nugget Mall, we, of course, have quality toys, and, you know, we have cards at both stores. We have games.
And in terms of something brand new, these are the sort of the newest here of the Alaska
that's
books.
Great. And nine authors. What a great value to go out and hear from all these nine authors. Get, if you want, buy books, get them signed, talk about Alaska, see Alaska.
And the books will all be on board the cruise, too, so people can get the books signed and personalized by the authors.
Right. And you've been doing it for 5 years, so obviously it's a great thing. Right?
Yeah.
And last year I went, and it was funny, the author of Snow Child was on it. She was like, it's the first time I've competed with whales. You know, that it's just so wonderful because it's so Alaskan, and then you have all these Alaskan authors. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We do break for whales. Yeah,
literally. We all have to.
So
like up north, you stop for moose crossings. We stop for whale crossings, bear crossings, and so on and so forth. So once again, if people want to buy tickets, it's $50 for this Friday, 6 to 9 p.m., tickets are running low, it sounds like.
There's a few available. Every year.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I went last year. It was definitely filled capacity. And so they could come by the stores. That's the best place to do that.
Yeah. Okay. And there's plenty of seats. So people, you know, even though if we sell all of the tickets, there's still comfortable seats for everyone.
Oh, absolutely.
Because someone asked me one time, well, is it sort of, do you stand around? And I said, oh, no, there's places to sit. You can roam around the boat. There's two levels where we'll have the Allan Marine St. Nicholas that we have every year. And there's plenty of room and, you know, there's hot coffee. And
a naturalist on board.
Wine tasting.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing is that if you, we were just talking to a representative of Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau, if you had just come to town and you were going to do a three-hour whale watch, it certainly wouldn't be $50 nine authors. This is one of those local wonderful things to take advantage of.
Yeah. And this is almost always filled with just Juneau folks.
Absolutely.
And it's very fun. You'll see people you know, and it's a great opportunity to wander around and chat with folks and, you know, voices like Jeff Brown that, you know, we hear around town. You'll actually be able to, you know, come and chat with them on board
and see what they're working on.
Yeah.
It sounds great. All right. Well, thanks. So that's this Friday, $50. $50 per ticket. Pick them up at the stores, Hearthside Books. And then the cruise is from 6 to 9, but you have to be out at Stater Harbor by 5:30. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, thanks for coming in.
One short thing, too, with the construction of the roundabout, folks might, you know, be sure that they're there ahead of time. And there's free parking up in Auk Bay School.
Right.
And then you can just walk over to the park, because parking, there is a charge for it down there by the docks.
So. Right, absolutely. You always have to get a little creative.
Right.
Yes. So, but not that creative. All right, well, thanks. And thanks for all you do for our community.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
This is Bird Note. When a pair of Western grebes decides it's time to mate, it's as if they know they have an audience for the performance they're about to give. On the still waters of an alkaline lake, they call loudly and approach one another. Each bird curves, then straightens its long neck gracefully. They then face each other, necks on the water's surface, their bills flipping up drops of water. If attraction prevails, they rush together and off they go across the water, running on the surface side by side. Standing straight up with necks held high and feet churning like propellers, they no longer look much like grebes, more like participants in Tchaikovsky's ballet Swan Lake. After their lengthy pas de deux, with wings extended like parallel sails, they plunge below the surface. What follows is the weed ceremony, each bird diving to pick up a beakful of soft vegetation. The grebes then stand up in the water, face one another, press tightly together, then drop the plants and preen. The whole courtship sequence may begin again at any time, building in intensity as spring progresses and the pair makes ready to start a new generation. You can see a video of the Western Grebes mating dance at birdnote.org.
The National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence is proud to partner with local supporters and leading community experts to host two town hall meetings to discuss health factors influencing young people throughout the community. A panel of experts will be on hand to answer questions following a presentation of Juno's Healthy Indicators Report. All are welcome. Join NCAD on May 20th from 5:30 to 7:30 at Juno Douglas High School or May 21st from 5:30 to 7:30 at Thunder Mountain High School. Your voice matters. Let it be heard.
Hello, it's 3:44 p.m. on Monday, May 19th. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your Monday host, Joan Pardis. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And our next guest is local musician Marion Call, who's having a concert on Thursday. Marion, it's a pleasure to interview you.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. I am a big fan of your work. I just really love your music, and it's actually my go-to in the car.
Oh,
so
good.
It definitely is.
It's good driving music.
It's great Alaskan music, actually. So let's talk a little bit about the Thursday night concert and where it will be and what people could expect.
Well, we're doing a show at Copa, the new coffee shop and the ice cream shop downtown. Have you been there?
Yes, most definitely.
Oh, such good ice cream. Oh, my goodness. Well, they have not had any live music yet. This is their first concert. I'm very excited that they were willing to try it. I miss the coffee house music feel. You know, we have such great venues and bars and theaters downtown, but I really miss the coffee house feeling, and I thought this would be a good chance to try that. So Laura Zahasky is going to play guitar with me, and we're going to do just a short evening concert this Thursday night at Copa. It's going to be free and open to the public, but it's also, as space is limited, we're telling people they can RSVP if they want to guarantee that they can sit down in a seat. So,
sounds great. Yeah. And where can people RSVP?
They can just write to RSVP at MarionCall.com, and it's on my website, it's on the posters downtown, it's all over the place, it's on the Jack calendar. So if they just write to RSVP at MarionCall.com and tell me how many bodies, then I'll reserve the seats until we're full, and then it'll be kind of just standing room as come as you want after that.
Sounds great. And are you promoting a new album, or this is...
No, between albums right now. I did two last year, so I'm still breathing a little bit. I'm about to go on big summer tour. I spend most of my summer outside traveling around the lower 48, and I'll be leaving pretty soon, which is going to make me sad. But before we go, we're having a couple good Alaska concerts, so I'm looking forward to it.
That sounds great. So let's talk about your last two albums. I'm a big fan of your earlier work, so I know that you had a... standing room only concert at the Gold Town Nick about a month or two ago.
Well, that was January already.
Oh my gosh. Okay,
yeah, I know. This year's going fast.
Okay. So let's talk about you did a CD about your last road trip.
Yeah,
correct?
I think I have released in 2013, I released two albums. One is called Sketchbook, and it's the one that we were celebrating in January there. It's just a short little, almost an EP. It's very short, and it's all raw songs from the road. I actually recorded them while I was touring, a lot of them in other people's houses. You know, so is your teenager's bedroom open for a while? Can I go in there and make a song? You know, it was really fun. I mostly do homestays and just kind of or visit with friends while I'm traveling, and that was how I made it. So the audio quality is not perfect, but it's very, I love the performances. It's really raw and really real, and so that's on my website, and it's also down at the Alaska Robotics Gallery. And earlier last year, or maybe it was January last year, I released my live record, Live in Europe, and that was a big, long process in the making. That was a crazy project. I'm really happy that one's out, too. And that one is good for people who prefer none of the extra instruments and the extra frou-frou, who just want the, like, to capture and take home the live experience. So now it's time to write a whole bunch of new songs and do a big new project, but that's a long time in the making, so I'm back at the beginning of the cycle again.
The artist cycle.
That's right. Yep.
All right. And you said you're going to do a couple of concerts in Alaska before you take off for the road.
Well, I actually just got back from Anchorage.
Oh, cool.
Had a show at the Taproot there. And I'm looking forward to hopefully some more in Alaska in July and some more in fall, if we get a chance to. But, you know, Alaskans in summertime, they're all outdoors. They're, you know, out fishing, out hiking, doesn't matter what the weather is. You know, it's hard to get them to come inside for a concert. So we figured this week is probably our last chance.
I think you're probably right, because the days are getting super long. So
it's wonderful.
Doesn't matter when you go out. You know, you could start something major at 7 o'clock
exactly.
And you'll have late. So that's great. And then where are you going on the road down?
My first trip, I'll be out for about a month, and I'm starting with Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, and Washington. And then I get to duck back into town for a couple weeks, cool my heels, and then go back out again, do some more West Coast and Western stuff, maybe get up to the Midwest, Minneapolis, and Chicago, and so on, if there's time, but it's actually not all semantic yet.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. Some people love the road, and some people don't love the road. What's your relationship with the road?
I love wherever I am, and I don't want to leave at the moment, which means that today I really don't want to leave Juneau, and tomorrow I will really not want to leave Juneau. But as soon as I get to, you know, San Luis Obispo or some crazy place on the road, I'll be really happy to be there and not want to leave because, my God, the avocados just grow on trees there. It's amazing.
And those pretty nice.
Yeah, I find things to be happy about pretty much everywhere I am, and I really enjoy being there. It's always too quick that you're leaving, whether it's a few weeks or just a few hours. So I just try and be happy about where I am. Perpetual homesickness, but also perpetual happiness, I guess.
That sounds great, though.
A little balance of both, you know?
Yeah, I'm happy where... didn't people write, like, wherever you are, there you are? You know, didn't they write
both?
Yeah.
Well, that's how you come up with a lot of road songs, I guess, is always feeling a little bit torn one way and the other and, you know, finding home where you can in little moments.
And as far as your creative process, is it better on the road or is it better when you're stationary or it...
The writing might be better on the road, like, you know, writing raw new material, but I definitely can't get any of it made except when I stay home for a while. So this year I'm trying to be home in Alaska more so I can actually make some more stuff, you know. It's very hard to produce anything or record anything while I'm traveling.
Right, but a lot of inspiration.
A lot of the inspiration, yeah, from just meeting people and seeing crazy things, seeing all the, you know, the wildfires and the floods and all the stuff that you get to witness traveling around the U.S. in the summer.
Exactly. Sometimes it seems like we're up here and it's just kind of looking down going, wow, it's crazy down there.
It does feel like that sometimes. Yeah.
I'm from down there, and it didn't seem crazy at the time. But now that I have a good
Well, I think they think the same thing about us. But
I'm they definitely do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're definitely right.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So the concert is Thursday night. It's at Copa. It's at 7 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And Laura Zahavsky, another local wonderful musician.
She's fantastic.
Will be playing. And to reserve your seat, because it's very small, and the coffee's great, and the food's yummy, and the ice cream is...
They made chocolate potato chip ice cream.
Can
we talk
about
someone who gets it? That's just exactly... That's a flavor of ice cream that's needed to exist
for a
long time.
This is like homemade artisan ice
cream.
So
good.
It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So how do people make sure that they have a seat?
They write to, just tell me how many people, write to rsvp@mariancall.com, and I'll let them know that they're confirmed. When we fill up, I'll start putting people on a wait list. And, but everyone can still come. It'll just be like standing room, or you might have to, you know, shuffle around and get close, sit on the floor. You know, it's fun that way. I like concerts like that.
It's a coffee shop concert.
They feel good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go out with a song, Marian. Which song are we going to listen to?
Off the live album. Let's see. Jeff, do you have a choice?
11?
Go for it.
What's the name?
It's called I'll Still Be.
1, 2, 3. All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed. Right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions. Even if my squaritude is overly pronounced. Perhaps I do not strike you as a geek. Without the horn-rimmed glasses and knee-high argyle socks. But nerdery is more than wardrobe deep. And I'm a nerd down in my heart, and that's where nerdhood rocks. I am better acquainted than a good girl ought to be with Aragorn and Yosef Bridge and Worf and Hal and Hot. But you don't really know me, and my culture don't control me, so don't you pigeonhole me, cause my phase are set to sun. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before anyone heard bookish girls should look and act a certain way. And I'll still be a geek after nobody thinks it's chic, cause I do not care what normal people say. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4. My superpower's draining fun from parties. But if I am a misfit, I'm in good company with Auden, Austin, Hawking, Galileo, and Van Gogh, and countless other people who you really ought to know. So, stow your expectations. I won't fix your PC. And I don't mind being underrated or ignored. It's just the world is much too interesting to entertain
play it cool, and I won't ever once before. No, I have been a nerd since long before anyone heard. Pale and scrawny was the latest fashion trend. And I'll still be a geek after nobody thinks it's chic. You will find that I have nothing to defend. No, 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 I have. Pale and scrawny was the latest fashion trend. And I'll still be a geek when I am utterly antique, 'cause I don't require approval in the end. No, I don't require approval in the end.
This is it. Last chance to see Perseverance Theater's hit comedy, Boing Boing. Grab a friend and hop on board to the hottest destination in town as the show must close this Sunday. Catch a flight to this hilarious comedy that is selling out and keeping audiences in stitches. An American living in Paris tries his hand at managing his three airline hostess fiancés. But when Boeing invents a better, faster jet, the hijinks and hilarity begin. Running through May 25th. For more information, please visit PerseveranceTheater.org or call 463-TIXS.
And I saw the show this past weekend, Boing Boing, and it is funny. It's a great production. Strongly recommend it. So you've been listening to Juno Afternoon. It is Monday, May 19th. It's 3:55 p.m. And the weather tonight, rain, patchy fog, late lows around 44. Tuesday, periods of rain, and tomorrow night, rain. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain. Wednesday night, decreasing clouds. Thursday, cloudy. Friday through Saturday, rain likely. And for Sunday, Memorial Day, it looks like mostly cloudy. So it's typical Juno weather. Thanks for joining us today. CBJ has a public hearing tonight about adopting the budget. It will be at their assembly meeting at 7 p.m. in assembly chambers. You could listen here at KTOO, or drop by and share your thoughts or send an email. Tomorrow, Scott Burden hosts Juno Afternoon. Scott is a KTOO employee. He does a great job on Juno Afternoon. And next up is All Things Considered. Thanks for listening.